Today is Monday, the 14th of January, and this is Kathy bringing you the news from the Herald and Review for today, and possibly yesterday if we have time. Starting out with page one, Friends, Food, and Flavors. Cooking Club brings experiences to the kitchen. When you find a group of like-minded people, you form a club. That's what Alice Boldiak has done with three of her friends. They meet once a month with their cooking club, but not just any cooking will do. The dishes are unique and detailed. For their January meeting, they made pho, a Vietnamese French soup. One of the ladies found the dish during a visit to a restaurant in Texas. "We hear about a restaurant, and we will travel to experience it," said Karen Webb. "We get our ideas everywhere," said Sid Schonkweiler. Cookbooks, food, television. The cooking club makes sure they are all able to meet once a month, but no time is scheduled. The admit calendars are too full with family activities and travels. The ladies choose the next date while enjoying that month's dinner. "We work around everybody's schedule," Boliak said. The meetings often have a theme. Pie Day, Pasta Night, Julia Child's Recipes, Fondues, and Downton Abbey are just a few of the featured nights. The ladies have created their own tradition since they began meeting in 2010. Cookies and candies are reserved for December meetings. The host provides a lunch before they begin cooking the special evening meal, and the husbands join them to test out the results. The ladies found that four cooks are ideal for this type of club since most dining room tables fit eight. "If we had more, it would be awkward," said Marcia Johnson. "Each cook brings their own utensils depending on the dish she is making, but we know now what everybody else has in their kitchen," Boliak said. "We are taking a lot less than we used to." All four ladies are retired. Like most retirees, they wanted to try out new things. "There's a lot of potluck groups where people come together and bring food," Schonkweiler said. "But this is different. We spend the afternoon together cooking." Boliak created the group after witnessing a friend's success with a painting group. "I can't paint," she said, "but I do like to cook." She knew the other members of the cooking club through various life avenues. All have a love of cooking. Their first meeting was spent baking various breads, such as English muffins, biscuits, French bread, and bagels. One of their early meetings involved creating crepes. "We realized that we needed to coordinate a little bit more because they all ended up with cheese and something else in them," Boliak said. The four ladies have been known to visit a restaurant for their monthly meetings. They have traveled to Chicago, St. Louis, and wineries. However, they have an ulterior motive. "We get a lot of our ideas from going out," said Karen Penn. "But we'd rather eat our own food than go out," Schonkweiler said. The husbands agree. As a member of the self-titled eating club, Chuck Schonkweiler said he is always happy to provide his home for the cooking club. "Why not?" he said. "We have wonderful food and everybody likes everybody else in the group." "You don't have to work real hard," said Mike Boliak. "And we enjoy all the results." Although they have never complained, the men have their favorites, including the president's favorite foods and the Downton Abbey menu. The four husbands arrive around 5:30, ready for a glass of wine, a bottle of beer, and a plateful of food. "By the time we get there, everything is ready," Chuck Schonkweiler said. In the past, the husbands have tried to influence their wives' choice of foods and menus, but it doesn't usually work, Mike Boliak said. They hit a home run every time. Also on the front page, Pritzker Administration Day 1, Lawmakers Ready for Reboot. Members of both parties anxious for a change. J.B. Pritzker finally gets the keys to drive Illinois today, and there's no shortage of voices offering suggestions about what route he should take as governor. Pritzker, a Democrat, is scheduled to take the oath of office at a two-hour ceremony at 11 a.m. at the Bank of Springfield Center in Springfield. A black tie optional celebration, where tickets start at $250 each, is at the Illinois State Fairgrounds tonight. Pritzker, billionaire heir to the Hyatt Hotel chain fortune, who defeated GOP Governor Bruce Rauner, will lead a state mired in deeply rooted financial problems and a hemorrhaging population. He has pledged to overhaul the income tax structure, advance a capital construction plan for roads and bridges, legalize marijuana, explore sports betting, and increase the minimum wage. The 101st General Assembly was sworn in on Wednesday. Democrats have been in control of the legislature for more than 15 years. This session sees Democrats with supermajorities in both chambers, meaning they don't need Republican votes to advance legislation if they stick together. State Senator Bill Brady, a Republican of Bloomington, who's already working closely with Pritzker as Senate Minority Leader, said he's confident that Republicans will still have input included on his highest priority, repairing the state's shaky financial future. Governor Pritzker says that is his number one goal. I believe it is, said Brady. If we're going to create jobs and bring job creators here, we need to focus on stability. He said a good first step would be a bipartisan program to improve the state's infrastructure that decayed further during a two-year budget impasse under Rauner and Democratic House Speaker Mike Madigan of Chicago. Brady said his caucus could work with the governor on increasing the gambling revenue or the motor fuel tax, but a mileage tax is a non-starter. That would track how many miles each resident drives and tax accordingly. He anticipates disagreement on some of Pritzker's broader economic measures, including a graduated income tax that would tax residents more if they make more, and a minimum wage increase. The cabinet also is taking shape. Lawmakers last week backed the plan by Pritzker giving approval to a change in state law to increase salaries by 15% for cabinet members he hopes to hire. Some folks in the campaign team approached me and I had lengthy conversations, kind of going up the ladder until I had a long conversation, in excess of an hour, as a matter of fact, with the governor-elect himself, said the former state representative David Harris, an Arlington Heights Republican tapped to run the Department of Revenue. I think people will find him to be an engaging, enthusiastic individual who wants to move this state forward, Harris said last week at what was his Stratton Building legislative office. Harris, 70, didn't seek a new term in the House, so his tenure as a legislator ended Wednesday with the inauguration of the 101st General Assembly. And former state Senator John Sullivan, a Rushville Democrat, said that after many people prompted him to apply to head the Department of Agriculture, he did so. Sullivan said he had with some of the governor's folks trying to get an idea if Pritzker would be micromanaging agencies, something he said has been part of the problem in the Rauner administration. That I had almost a two-hour sit-down with the governor-elect himself, Sullivan said, and we really, really had a good discussion. Sullivan, 60, said he wasn't too involved in the Pritzker campaign, but did support him locally. Every time I met him, I came away from the conversation more impressed with just who he was. I mean, his frank, honest assessment of issues, said Sullivan. To me, a sign of a good leader is somebody that, when they don't know the answer, they say, I don't know, but I'll do my best to try and find out. And he has done that on several occasions. He comes right out and says, I don't know anything about agriculture, and I'm going to have to rely on people that do know. Sullivan also said he was very impressed with Pritzker's talk of bipartisanship. State Representative Tim Butler, a Springfield Republican, said he's not sure how many Republicans Pritzker will ultimately have in his administration, but certainly putting Representative Harris in there was a big deal. He noted that Harris also led the Illinois National Guard as the state's adjutant general and is one of our top people in the state when it comes to revenue and the budget. So I think that's really good. Butler also noted that Sullivan's involvement with agriculture. Sullivan has a 200-acre farm that produces mostly grain, but also has a small cow herd and has long worked in his family's auction business, bodes well. Sullivan is, Butler said, well-respected across both sides of the aisle. I've heard nothing but positive things about John as the director designate. I think he'll do a great job. Pritzker on Sunday held an open house at the old state capitol in Springfield. State Senator Jason Barrickman, a Bloomington Republican, said one way or the other, citizens will know a lot more about what kind of governor Pritzker will be soon. Pritzker is expected to deliver at least one major address on the state's budget in the next 2 months. I think the tone for the next 4 years is going to be set by how things go this spring, said Barrickman. The fortune tellers will be able to predict a lot based on what happens between now and March. And continuing with local news, winter gear rental from Decatur. The Rock Springs Nature Center has cold weather recreational gear for rent and use on the conservation area trails anytime Decatur has had 4 or more inches of snow on the ground. Snowshoes and cross-country skis, boots, and poles are available for use on the conservation area trails at $8 for 2 hours or $20 for 24 hours. The equipment is available on a first-come, first-served basis. The conservation area is open year-round from 7 a.m. until sunset. The Nature Center is open daily except holidays. Hours are 8 to 5 p.m. Monday through Wednesday, and on Friday, 8 to 8 p.m. on Thursday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday, and 1 to 5 p.m. on Sunday. For more information, visit Rock Springs online at MaconCountyConservation.org. Woman reports home hit by bullet.
A woman told police her Decatur home was hit by a bullet after she heard a loud bang about 7:50 p.m. on Saturday. Detective Sergeant Chris Copeland said patrol officers who were dispatched to the woman's home in the 1300 block of East Division Street did see a semicircular defect in the home's siding, but the officer was unable to determine if it was new or old damage. There were no bullet casings recovered and no fresh footprints in the snow, and no damage seen to the inside of the residence, which would indicate a projectile entered the home, said Copeland. But she, the homeowner, believed that the damage to the home was fresh. Children's choir auditions being held. The Milliken Children's Choir will hold auditions by appointment for the spring 2019 semester, with rehearsals beginning on Tuesday, January the 22nd. The choir has three levels for children ages 5 to 18. No experience is required to audition and participate. All choirs rehearse on Tuesday from 4:15 to 5:45 in the Perkinson Music Building on the Milliken campus. The groups perform several concerts each semester. Tuition for the program is $105 for grades K through 2 and $155 for singers grades 3 through 12. To register for an audition, call Program and Artistic Director Christine Smith at 413-7811, or you can visit the website at milliken.edu/preparatory/milliken-children's-choir and follow the links. Benefits Access Program Help Offered. Decatur-Macon County Senior Center is offering application assistance for the state's Benefit Access Program, which provides discounted license plate stickers and seniors or disabled ride free bus passes for use on mass transit statewide. Outreach counselors can help determine eligibility and submit an online application. To qualify, an individual must be 65 or older by December 31st and have an annual household income of less than $27,610 for one person or $36,635 per couple. Certification is good for 2 years. The Senior Center counselors can also keep certification up to date. For more information, call the Senior Center at 429-1239. Answering God's call to action. First Christian Church marks 185 years of serving the community by Tony Reed. The members of First Christian Church believe charity begins at home, but travels all over the world. The 2,500-strong congregation is busy these days doing outreach work that helps everyone from school kids in Decatur to children in need in Cuba and in far-flung nations scattered across America. On Sunday, First Christian took a moment between regular services to celebrate another remarkable achievement, its 185th birthday. Morgan Arsenault, the church's discipleship assistant, said the church got its start in 1834 in Decatur and grew up in August Company. The original home of the congregation was the log courthouse in Decatur, where Abraham Lincoln practiced law, she said. By 1894, it had built itself a tabernacle in downtown Decatur on Church Street, which was razed and replaced with another new building in 1913. First Christian moved to its current spacious home at 3350 North MacArthur Road in 1996, just 2 years after its current lead pastor, the Reverend Wayne Kent, and his wife Leslie were chosen to lead the congregation. Church members on Sunday had their choice of dining out on celebratory cupcakes marked in icing with either $185 for the church anniversary or $25 for the Kent Silver Jubilee. The word of God never changes, but you have got to grow and change, and you can't stay where you are, said Leslie Kent, 58, looking back at the strides the church has made over its long history. We've always followed what God has called us to do. Barring rapturous events, her 60-year-old husband looks forward to a First Christian congregation he will never see 185 years from now, marking its 370th anniversary. I hope the church then would continue to be saying what we say now. How are we going to change the world? How are we going to make the world better? Wayne Kent said. That is the essential thing. Here's a quick rundown of First Christian's efforts to make the world better, closer to home. Club 305, an after-school program during which volunteers tutor and mentor Parsons school students. Every Parsons student gets a book, t-shirt, and a gift box at Christmas. A chaplaincy team to serve patients at Decatur Memorial Hospital and Crossing Healthcare, available 24/7. an arts academy that offers free lessons and classes on music, cooking, painting, sewing, dancing, drama, and more to children in the Decatur community. The Block House on Church Street ministers to people in the inner city, and First Christian has three teams preparing and serving meals at the Good Samaritan Inn, a faith-based nonprofit service organization. A Marvelous Service nonprofit offers free professional haircuts for cancer patients by Nara Schoenberg. This is actually from Hinsdale. When Candy Frazier learned that the Hinsdale nonprofit, where she takes an exercise class for cancer patients, was offering free professional hairstyling services, she immediately signed up for a haircut. This is so marvelous because some people really need their head shaved at some point, or they're starting to grow in fuzzy hair and they don't know how to take care of it, said Frazier, 65, of Clarendon Hills, whose hair was less than an inch long when she had it trimmed and shaped 2 months ago at Wellness House. Wellness House, which offers free wellness education and support programs for people with cancer, slowly began offering free professional haircuts at its Hinsdale location this fall, with a formal launch for the program December 7th. So far, more than 10 patients have participated, and Wellness House, which has two volunteer stylists, hopes to add more this month, according to Senior Director of Programs Lisa Cole of Enno. Appearance is such an outward sign to the world of what's happening during cancer treatments at Kolovenu. It can feel very powerful to have some control over managing that. We even find that, for example, with head shaving in our salon, many people will want to do that before their hair even starts to fall out, because it's an act of taking control over one's situation. Haircuts take place in a comfortable and inviting multipurpose room, outfitted with a salon chair, a sink for shampooing, and a cart for supplies, said Anthony Tuzzolino, co-owner of Eye Design Salon and Blow Dry Bar in Hinsdale, and a volunteer stylist. People have definitely commented on how much better they feel afterward, he said. Patients can bring friends or relatives, and the room is private, so people who are losing their hair don't have to worry that others are staring at them. We see people in all different phases of their cancer journey, Tuzzolino said. I've seen people that are going into treatment and just want to get rid of their hair because a large portion of it has already fallen out. I've seen people that are already growing their hair back for 3 months or 10 months and they don't know what to do with it. Frazier, who was diagnosed with a blood cancer multiple myeloma in 2017, has gone through chemotherapy, dialysis for related kidney problems, and a bone marrow transplant, and she said she's now doing well. The retired school technology coordinator had a friend shave her head during treatment, and it had grown back a bit when she had it trimmed at Wellness House. I liked it. It was great, she said of her haircut. There's a real need for services as basic as free shampooing, she said. When she was on dialysis, she had a catheter in her chest and couldn't take a shower. She got her hair washed at a salon, she said. The Wellness House Hair Salon is funded in part by a donation from Burbage attorney John Eisel, who lost his wife, Linda, to breast cancer in 2015. Everyone reacts to cancer differently, Eisel said. Linda, who wore a wig during treatment, didn't want people to know she was sick or to treat her differently. She was always getting complimented on her wig, and it was kind of her way of looking healthy and feeling healthy, said Eisel, 69, whose gift supports an array of Wellness House salon services, including a wig boutique. I knew I wanted to do something with Wellness House, and this kind of spoke to me as something she would really like. And now turning to money and business. Containers to Office Space. Company takes novel approach to building by Lenore Sabota. In Goodfield. Step inside the soon-to-be home of Zeller Electric, nearing completion in Goodfield, and it's not hard to imagine you wandered into a giant Lego playset. What might be harder to imagine is that the old shipping containers stacked at various angles will soon be offices, meeting rooms, and work areas. Yet, that is exactly what Brian Reike, Zeller's Vice President of Operations, visualized as he contemplated how to fix X amount of people within the square footage of the steel buildings with tall ceilings and an open floor plan a short distance from Interstate 74. The building is owned by Crossing Properties, and Zeller Electric is renovating the space inside. A portion of it will be used by Halo Solar, a solar energy company that partners with Zeller. The idea came to me when I was considering the cost of conventional framing, said Reike, as work went on around him to complete the interior of the building. I figured this might be a good fit with this open space. The shipping containers are very reasonable, especially in this state. Eight standard 40-foot shipping containers are being used for the project. Each is roughly 8 feet tall and 8 feet wide. They are being cut to fit the needed sizes, which Reiki said was more cost-effective than buying standard 10 or 20-foot containers. With the natural look being in, the exteriors of the containers will be left in their current state, so the used patina is evident, with various numbers, letters, logos, and warnings, such as very heavy. The interiors will be painted. Openings are being cut for windows, but the large doors with vertical metal bars will remain largely intact. There are a lot of people starting to do things with shipping containers, noted Reiki. Blake Knapp of Atelier is serving as architect for the project. I'm really excited about it, said Reiki. We'll get some cool workspaces. The company expects to vacate its Morton location at the end of January and occupy its new space sometime in February. Zeller Electric has been in business since 1979 and does industrial, commercial, and residential electrical work in addition to green energy products involving solar and wind power. Zeller was involved in the wind turbine project at Heartland Community College. The company was founded by the father and uncle of its current president and CEO, Seth Zeller. It's nice to be able to carry on the legacy that they had, said Zeller. Speaking of the new location, Zeller said, we wanted to do it to be a space where our employees and customers felt inspired, a fun place to work. The move from their current location in Morton to Goodfield is being done in part to ease travel times, Reiki explained. About 20 employees live in Bloomington Normal, and about 20 live in Peoria, he said. Each is about a 20-minute drive. The site also is about an hour and 10-minute drive from Champaign, Galesburg, and Springfield, he added. It's right in the middle of our market, said Reiki. The village of Goodfield has been great to work with. Two side-by-side containers are being outfitted as a meeting room with a conference table that will seat 16 people. Stairs are being built to access the second-level containers. The second level will also include a gathering area on the roof of one container, surrounded by railings. The core of our business is the good quality employees we have and giving them the best opportunity to be productive at work, said Reiki. The design includes collaborative spaces. Zeller said, in central Illinois, many office buildings tend to be drab and boring. He wanted to spice things up. Heartland Fabrication of Congerville is doing a lot of the custom work on the project. Titan Industries of Deer Creek, Residential Steel Services of Congerville, and TCI Plumbing of Goodfield also are involved. We're trying to keep it local, Reiki said of the fabricators and the suppliers being used. And this next is either a blog or a column written by a workplace coach. And the headline reads, Boss Can't Be Counsel Over Substance Abuse. Question. One of my employees has admitted to having a drinking problem. Jerry knows our business well and gets along with everyone, but he has a lot of absences. His excuses run the gamut from coming down with the flu to having a sick pet. However, I suspect he is either drinking or hungover. While I would prefer not to replace Jerry, I will have to let him go if this pattern continues. Although he has acknowledged his difficulties with alcohol, he has apparently never sought any type of treatment. As Jerry's manager, can I do anything to encourage him to get help? The answer, Jerry may indeed be an alcoholic, but you can't become his substance abuse counselor, nor should you enable him by overlooking absences or accepting weak excuses. As his boss, however, you can definitely provide valuable assistance by highlighting his performance problems and pointing him in the direction of professional help. If your company has an employee assistance program, talk with one of the counselors before meeting with Jerry. But if not, research treatment options until you identify a reputable and respected substance abuse program in your community. During your discussion, explain how Jerry's frequent absences are jeopardizing his continued employment. You can deliver this message through your company's disciplinary policy just as you would any other poorly performing employee. Then, since he has voluntarily discussed his drinking problem, you can suggest seeking help from a qualified professional. For example, Jerry, although you do good work when you're here, your frequent absences create problems for the business. That's why I'm giving you an official disciplinary warning. Because you've previously mentioned a drinking problem, I'm also giving you the number of a treatment program. However, making that contact is strictly up to you. Your continued employment will depend only on your job performance and attendance record. If nothing changes, I will have to take the next disciplinary step. Explain that you value Jerry as an employee and want him to succeed, but emphasized that he is going to lose his job if the attendance problem is not corrected. Fear of being fired is sometimes the only thing that will get an alcoholic's attention. Question. After I complained to Megan about some people in our department, she apparently went and told them exactly what I said. I've also learned that she lied to me about certain issues related to our work. I used to trust Megan and have even loaned her money, but now I feel betrayed. How should I confront her about this? Answer. Instead of continuing this disruptive soap opera, you need to concentrate on avoiding similar problems in the future. Toward that end, there are a few simple guidelines. Never talk badly about one coworker to another. Assume that anything you say is likely to be repeated. As a general rule, avoid lending money to people at work. Try to be pleasant and helpful to everyone, even those you don't particularly like. But if these rules strike you as overly restrictive, you may have an unfortunate addiction to workplace trauma. And these questions and answers were written by Marie McIntyre, who is a workplace coach. And from the Everyday Cheapskate, who is Mary Hunt. Inexpensive can sometimes be the best. There are times when the old adage, you get what you pay for, doesn't hold up. Sometimes the less expensive option turns out to be the best. The best inexpensive toaster. Dear Mary, does anyone make a decent, simple, reliable pop-up toaster? I don't need it to do anything but make evenly toasted toast. Bev. Dear Bev, I was wondering the same thing. After a good deal of research, I narrowed the field to the Hamilton Beach Keep Warm 2-Slice Toaster. I am so happy with it that it has become my new pick for the best inexpensive. Here are some of the reasons I am such a fan. The bread slots handle all thicknesses of things to be toasted. Bagels, Texas toast, English muffins, thin sliced bread, and regular sliced bread. When I press down on the handle, clamps gently move into place to hold the toast straight and upright. And when the toast is ready, I just lift up the handle, which gives the toast a boost and makes it easy to remove. The keep warm feature is really nice. It keeps the toast warm for 3 minutes without over toasting. It has a defrost option, nice, as well as a special setting for bagels. I love that it is very lightweight and lets me easily store it in a lower cabinet. I like a clean, clear countertop. Going in, my two concerns about this toaster were the low price and the negative reviews I found online. There are times that you get what you pay for, and this toaster is a great example. It is quite inexpensive, and as for the negative reviews, I can't figure that out other than to assume the reviewers are dealing with a defective item. After more than a year of toasting, I have not encountered a single problem with this lovely Hamilton Beach Keep Warm toaster. I can recommend it highly. It costs about $25 on Amazon and is available at Walmart. The Eufy Cordless Stickback. Dear Mary, my Eufy cordless stickback has quit charging. I've had it less than a year. Help, I cannot live without my Eufy. Signed, Vicky. Dear Vicky, oh, I know the feeling. I could not live without my Eufy either. The good news is that your Eufy cordless stickback came with a 15-month full warranty, but you need to act quickly. First, go to your Amazon account and find your order and invoice. Look under Orders in the upper right while you are logged in. Then call Customer Service, or if you prefer, go to eufylife.com and click on support. The company has the best customer service ever, and it will take good care of you. The best stainless steel cleaner. Dear Mary, please say again, what's the best commercial cleaner or polish for stainless steel? Signed, Dorothy. Dear Dorothy, you won't find a better product to clean your stainless steel than Spray Away Stainless Steel Cleaner and Polisher. This product is oil-based and leaves no streaks. And you'll see far fewer fingerprints once you clean and polish your stainless steel. I'm pretty sure I've tried them all, so I'm confident in this recommendation. Spray Away is the best. And those were written by Mary Hunt, and she does her blog or her column every day under the Everyday Cheapskate. And that's going to mark the end of part one for the Decatur paper. And I will be back with you in a couple of minutes with part two.